And a convenient way of looking at the law in the Old Testament is, and this is more of a Christian method, a moral law, the civil law, and the ceremonial law. Civil, moral, and ceremonial. Deuteronomy 31:26 is all of these written on that book and placed alongside the Ark of the Covenant. And that's the handwritten documents that were against us and condemned us. And we find that that goes to the cross, according to the scriptures that we have in the book of Colossians. And then we have a new covenant arrangement with the shedding of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. And we find that a new covenant arrangement comes in and a new law. It is the law of Christ and of Christ's commandments and the commandments of grace that we find under the new covenant. And this also illustrates for us that there's always been the faith way. The faith way, Old Testament and New Testament, is always the same. By grace, by blood, by faith. Let's join Channel 7 and take a trip to heaven. Or you can be Channel 9, all right? Doesn't matter. Let's go there. We're looking for Moses. You know who Moses is, don't you? He is the mediator of the Old Covenant. Moses, how did you get here? Oh, you know all those commandments God gave me on the mountain there way back. He said, you know, there's 613 of them. I've counted them all. I'm here because I did a good job of keeping them all. Oh. Hello, we've got some agreeing now. No. How? Is Moses there? Is Moses in the glory? Yeah. Proof, please. Very good, brother. The Mount of Transfiguration. Someone has said the Lord Jesus Christ couldn't talk to anybody on earth about what was coming. He had to get some visitors from heaven to have a talk over. It says there in Matthew 17 and Luke 9 that they spoke about his departure on the mount. His departure. In the Greek, it's, you know this word, Exodus. His departure. So two heavenly people came and spoke to him, which was Moses and Elijah. Moses represents the law, we say. Elijah represents the prophets. They knew all about the prophecies and so on. So they talked over about his coming death and his coming departure on the cross. The only people he could talk to about. Let's move on. The faith way from beginning to end. The way Adam and Eve were saved is the same way you and I were saved. They may not have known of Jesus of Nazareth, but they knew of the coming deliverer, the coming Messiah, and they trusted in the Lord. They trusted in the Lord. And then we have the great saints of Abraham and David and Daniel and so on. And it comes through into the New Testament, of which we know justified by faith alone in our Lord Jesus Christ. So this is not a diagram to tell us how to be saved, but it's a diagram that tells us about the old covenant relationship coming to an end. Remember those words, obsolete, fading away? I wonder what took its place. Well, God's moral law continues on forever. Forever. But when we come under the new covenant, we find that there is a new arrangement, not like the one that they made in the past. Although, under the old covenant and under the law, we have this. There's a new covenant coming. You see that in your diagram? Under the old, announcement was made that the new one was coming. We have that in Jeremiah, Isaiah, and Ezekiel. And Eric has helped us to appreciate some of those. And this now will be the commandments of the Lord Jesus Christ and the relevant commandments under the new age of grace, and they are written on the hearts of God's people by the Holy Spirit. Paul makes the declaration, the righteous standard of the law fulfilled in us by walking in the Spirit. We could even say, and we'll say it carefully, the standard could even be higher. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ said to the disciples, love one another. But he prefixed that with these words, a new commandment I give to you, love one another. That's not a new commandment, that's been in the Bible from the beginning. You read all about it in the law of Moses. What's going on? A new commandment I give you. What else did Jesus say? A new commandment I give you, that you should love one another as I have loved you. The law says, you love your neighbor as yourself. That's the standard, okay? Love your neighbor as yourself. Do unto others as you would do to you. A new dimension Jesus offers. A new dimension Jesus gives. You love one another the way I'm loving you. Wow. How are we going with that one? I remember a man went and spoke to D.L. Moody, and he said, D.L. Moody, I'm troubled. I think I'm loving my wife too much, and I'm troubled about it. And he turned to Ephesians 5, and I don't know the verse. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for them. And he said, brother, how are you going? I said, I'm not loving her enough. He said, that's right. That's right. Don't put your love for your wife above the love for the Lord and even his church. But that's the wonderful standard. Jesus becomes the standard in his love. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. So I'm to love just like Jesus. I remember a dear missionary friend had trouble getting on with someone. And in a prayer meeting, they were all kneeling down in a circle. And this dear brother, he's a lovely brother in the Lord. He had trouble with a particular brother. And this particular brother was kneeling down. He was so troubled about it. He came around and stood behind the brother and said, Lord, I'm having trouble with this brother. Please give me the love of Christ for him. Just as much as you love him, help me to love him that way. Isn't that lovely? Yeah, he's a lovely man. Lovely man of God. Spent 25 years in Kashmir, up in the Muslim area. Not many responses for Christ, but he was a lovely man in the Lord. I loved him. Yes. He was a dear brother. Okay, so we have here the engraving of the Torah, or God's law, in their hearts. This is what we call the internalization. Remember that? How are we going about that? In the internalization of God's law. I know it's here in this book. Beautifully bound book, you know, gold, gilded edges and so on. It's also working in my heart, stirring in my heart, giving those desires. It's God who works in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. There's a great renovation work going on. And I always give this example. I love it. I remember walking along the street one time, and this great commotion, and this house, out of the windows and doors, was coming furniture and rubbish, and carpets and everything. I wonder what's going on. I got closer. The renovators are there, and they're doing a good job. They're throwing out all the rubbish, and of course, we know what they will be doing next. They're going to refurbish the place, and they're going to reconstruct and so on. Now, that's what the Lord does with us, you see. He's a great renovator, changing lives, throwing out the rubbish. How do we know about that? Well, we have the witness of the Word. We have the witness of the Spirit. We have the witness of Torah in our own being. Torah, the law, the instruction of God, puts it internally. No wonder he's grieved with the disobedience of God's people. There are so many witnesses. There's the witness of the Word. There's the witness of God's people exhorting us. There's the Holy Spirit, whom James says is jealous inside of us. Should be new covenant people, changed, having God's Word clearly written in our hearts. The engraving of Torah, or God's law. That's internalization. That is inward.